Hello and welcome to episode 272 of the Rollo and Slappy Show. Today is October 4th, 2021. I am Rollo McFlugel, and with me is my co-host, Slappy Jones. Show notes page for this episode will be mcflugel.com/272, where you can find links to the things we talk about, as well as check out libertymugs.com, bitcointrickle.com, and 10hoursofbitcoin.com. If you've been listening for more than this episode, you know what all those websites are. And I don't feel like saying it right now.
And because if you haven't, you're going to find out because you just can't wait to go to them.
Right. You're just going to go. You can pause right now and go over to mcflugel.com/272 and just start clicking all the links.
Yeah.
Doing everything.
Yeah.
As you should. As every listener should. I can see the page views.
Just going up right now.
So we know.
It looks like a slot machine.
Right. We know how many downloads we get, and we can see how many clicks and views we get on the website. So we know.
Don't be the one who didn't click.
Right. Yeah, we better see even numbers. I didn't feel like doing that because I've just been having technical difficulties all over the place.
Oh, we've had difficulties. We're 1.5 minutes into this, and we were scheduled to start 1 hour and 10 minutes ago.
What was your technical difficulty?
My technical difficulty was staying at the gym too long.
Oh.
And then
Getting too swole?
Yes, my muscles are too huge. And then I came back and was hungry, so I ate something real quick. Then, because Windows is the worst operating system ever created, takes 20 minutes for me to get my damn computer on. And then it takes another 20 minutes for a browser to come up. And the software we use has to be done in this browser, not in my other browser. It has to be done in Edge because it's not supported on Firefox. I guess there's other browsers I could use.
I'm using Firefox.
When I click in Firefox, it says it's not supported for Firefox.
Are you on classic.zencaster.com?
I don't know what I'm on. I clicked the link you sent. Yeah, classic.zencaster.com.
Okay. That's weird.
Yeah.
I'm on Firefox right now. Well, Slappy, like every time we do an episode, you say, oh, Windows is doing its thing. So yeah. Eventually,
but I usually don't stay in the gym too long.
Well, I don't know.
Tonight I did.
You keep saying Windows is the worst operating system.
It is.
But you keep using it. So you should stop externalizing your problems, Slappy, and be more like Rollo and be running Linux.
The problem is, on this computer, I use it one time a week for anywhere from 2 to 3 hours or so.
Watching cat videos?
Yep.
I'm just saying, Linux is... I had my Windows machine right next to me on my desk, and I had to stop using that for podcasts because it would just blue screen of death on me all the time. It's a shame because it runs very well, but I can't be doing that when I'm...
Well, maybe I'll do that next week because I do have those computers I bought to set up the Yeti Cold, and they have Linux on them.
Make sure you wipe them first.
Why wouldn't I? I've actually wiped them several times.
Good. What this laptop that randomly shuts down on me. I don't know what it is. It happened like that when I bought it new, and I never sent it back as I should have. But it's annoying, and it's not like too bad, and it boots up real fast, so it's not that big of a deal. But it's annoying and frustrating. What was preventing me from just trying to run Linux on it, because I've had other laptops when I switched to Linux, they went from just like the worst computer in the world to running pretty well. And there's like one piece of software I run that they're that I use a lot that is only on Windows. But then I found this little tool in Linux that allows you to install this little utility or something, and allows you to install EXE like Windows files and run them on a Linux computer. So I got to test it out on that software on this one machine. And so maybe I can just not have to have two laptops up all the time to do stuff.
There you go.
But my technical difficulty was, it happened before, but you know, like you log on to the call and you're like, your sound's terrible and it's making my ears bleed. And the first thing was, I realized I didn't have the microphone plugged in to this computer because I have, of course, once again, two laptops in front of me. I had it plugged in the other one. I plug it in. Computer recognized the microphone. I was hearing in my headphones through the microphone, but it wasn't picking it up. The computer settings said the microphone was hot, but Zencastr wasn't picking it up. Played around with stuff, jumped out of the call, jumped back in the call, and then just did a reboot, and it worked.
Genius.
Yes. But maybe the more frustrating technical issue I've had is my Raspi Blitz went down. Geez. So if you have a channel with me and you see I've been away, that's what's going on. I'm trying to resync. I don't know what happened. I guess the blockchain got corrupted or something, which happens. And I don't know if I had a tweet last week. And I think it was after I realized I needed to resync. But I said, like, hey, you know, having a solid state hard drive, the SSS, is really nice during the initial blockchain download. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, three days versus a hard drive disk. An HDD can, you know, it's taken weeks. But I said the real benefit is not during the initial block download, but when you got to do a resync, when there's, you know, you inevitably get a corrupt file, it's nice to not have that much downtime. That, you know, you say, it stinks to have to, you know, be offline for 2 days, but it's a quick resync. So after trying to play around on the Raspi Blitz, said, you know what, this is a resync situation. So I did it. And I don't know when I did that. When did we talk last?
It was Monday.
No. About, I think I was texting you about this, or was it Monday that I complained about the?
Might have been. I don't know. It was last week.
Yeah, but it was like.
No, it was probably Tuesday night, right?
Oh yeah, that's right. Because we were on a call with someone else, and tonight it was still at like 30%.
Brutal, man. What's going on? Is it your internet connection?
No, it shouldn't be. So I was playing around with stuff. I deleted some services on the Raspi Blitz, the Electrum Rust server. Didn't know if that was causing issues. And then I just decided to try to resync again. So I'm at 1% now. So I think we're...
coming along.
We're connected to 10 peers. So I think that's good because I started an hour ago. If it takes 100 hours.
That's a win.
Yeah. Let me see. Node is syncing. Let's run the debugger.
So how was your weekend, Rallo?
It's good. It was busy.
Yeah.
I'm not done with my technical difficulties either.
Oh, I was trying to get off that topic.
So this weekend, I had some time Sunday morning waiting for the sun to come out and kind of burn off the dew and the wetness on the ground so I could finish mowing the lawn that I started Friday night. So I was playing around with stuff, checking the Raspi Blitz, see what was going on with that. And by the way, periodically back up your Lightning channel.
Yeah.
channels. Like it's pretty easy to do in the on the Raspi Blitz. Just in case, you know, you do totally bork it. Sometimes you just got to start totally fresh, delete everything. And so, you know, you want to be able to restore those channels when you come back up.
Absolutely.
So make sure you do that. It'll make you feel a little bit better about mm-hmm. having to totally pull the plug. Mm-hmm. So I was, we have the other Lightning node with Bitcoin Trickle. Mm-hmm. And so I decided there was some issue. I think I was just checking up on it since I was working on the other one. And I wanted to play with the LND hub function in the BTC Pay server. And so I SSH'd in to the, what's it called? The virtual machine we have for that, running mm-hmm. that. And I was going through the documents for BTC Pay server, and I found what I had to do, go into change a setting, do the, I think it's called like additional fragments include, you know, blah, 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 LND hub, blue wallet thing.
Yep.
So I go, and then I can't get on the website, btcpay.bitcointrickle.com. Stuff isn't working. I'm like, what'd I do? I'm going in, getting error messages. And like sitting there trying to figure out what's going on, looking through stuff, going through logs, seeing there's an error. The Bitcoin D, the actual service that runs Bitcoin Core, couldn't start up. I was like, man, I did something like this before where I changed a setting like this. Because Carr, through ThunderHub, wrote me a message that I wanted to read. And so I borked it for like a week back then. And I did that when I was going to be away for a long weekend too. Couldn't access a computer.
Nice.
And then I finally remembered that there's a setting when you do that additional settings thing that I just mentioned.
Yep.
That's where you tell it to prune. And since we're on a virtual machine on using the Luna node, we, you know, don't want to have like be running a terabyte of space, want to minimize it. So we have that node pruned. Mm-hmm. And so when it started back up and we took away the setting to say, hey, this is a prune node, it was expecting the entire blockchain. Mm-hmm. This is the same mistake. All I had to do was I accidentally undid a setting. But I went back in, added the setting, and it popped right back up.
Sweet.
So easy fixes. I thought I was going to have to resync that one too. I was about ready to, which would have been a pain because if I didn't have the pruning thing set, that we would have run out of space and would have thrown up another error, and I would have been just all over the place. So I have to remember that because these issues, like we were talking about with the Zencastr thing, you're like, I remember this happened before and you fixed it, but I don't know how.
Mm-hmm.
So these are my, my fights with technology, if you will. But just remember, Search engines are your friend.
Your regular Ted Kaczynski fighting technology.
Yeah. Remember, you're probably not the only one fighting through these battles, so there's probably a message board or a GitHub issue that someone had the same thing. And so you start, you know, copy and pasting random snippets of code into the terminal, and you'll probably get it to work. Yeah. Because... Yep. I don't really know what I'm doing with this. Oh, run this command. Okay.
Sure. Copy, paste.
Yeah.
Nice.
You just sent all your Bitcoin to this guy. Cool.
Slappy Jones appreciates it.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure I have to worry about you programming such a...
You underestimate me.
Well.
That's the whole plan.
If so, I will pass on all of these McFlugel Liberty Mug, Bitcoin Trickle technological issues to you then.
Sure.
In the future.
That would reveal, I'd play my hand, I'd reveal myself.
We already just did.
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
See, because it's not true.
Yeah.
It's just the plan.
So when you said, like, you'd be surprised
yes.
it was how bad I am?
Yes.
All right, that's fair. No, I had a busy weekend. Flag football game Saturday morning. We got absolutely destroyed.
What happened?
It's a team that like plays nationally and they're in our league. And they just it's just like at will. They do whatever they want. Like they have it's weird. There's a couple teams like that where there's two teams in the league that like they have practices, they have plays, they huddle, they do all sorts of like trickery and stuff, and they're all really good. And they just absolutely annihilate everybody else. I don't know how it's fun. One time one of the teams was like, oh, you guys are like, it's good practice for us. We can like work kinks out. And it's like, okay. I mean, I could probably like do remedial math test against you and like mop up the floor with you, but you don't see me doing that.
It's on air. That's what we used to practice. Offense used to practice on air.
Yeah.
Basically what it is. Go run some rounds.
But I did get an interception.
How?
Because
a lot has to go right there.
Well, I was playing cornerback and
deflection?
Receiver.
Or
no.
You jumped the route? Look at you.
Yeah. Well, all right. I didn't have to jump the route. I was just in a better position.
You went up.
I was inside. I didn't have to really go up. The quarterback might have underthrown the ball a little bit, but the receiver that was out wide along the sidelines went deep. Just did a go route down the sideline. And I turned around the wrong way. Like I had my back to the quarterback and was more facing the sideline. And I knew that. Well, as soon as I did it, I knew I made that mistake. So instead of still running that way and then waiting to turn around, I immediately turned around. And I think the quarterback saw me turn the wrong way and decided to throw it. But I was able to turn around soon enough, locate the ball, and fight off the receiver.
Good.
Who was trying to get back and knock my hands down. And I was able to return it for a few yards. That was the most amazing part of it, was that I was falling down. And in this league, if you fall down, no matter if you're touched or not, it's, you know, it's like college rules. You're down. So
did you let them know about it? Did you get up and tell them?
Oh, yeah. Down like 17,000 to like five. Yeah. Absolutely. Threw the ball in his face.
Good.
Yeah. Now the guy said, oh, nice job. I tossed the ball back, tossed their ball back to them.
And then caught a touchdown pass.
No, I think who knows what happened next. I did not catch any touchdown passes that game.
Okay.
Not many touchdown passes for us at all. It was fun. I got that. I got to, you know, show the wheels a little bit.
Good. Stretch the legs.
Yeah. And then that night, right after that, went to a cornhole tournament at someone's house. Came in second place.
All right.
The dude that I played with was really good.
It sounds like it.
Yeah. So, then Sunday, just did some yard work. Went to Mass in the morning. Watched the Eagles.
That went well.
Well, I mean, the defense was atrocious.
You thought they played well. I don't know what you were watching.
The offense, I thought, played well. Other than Jalen Hurts missing wide open touchdowns, where they had to settle for field goals.
Yeah, you got it. That's, you know, NFL, you got to take advantage.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, he played well otherwise, but, I mean, good players make big plays, and he missed two wide open guys and they had to settle for field goals.
Yeah. Oh well, they're terrible. Going to be a long season.
Probably still be in, wind up in second place in the division, though.
They could, right?
Wait,
did Washington win? Washington won this week.
Did they? I thought they lost.
Maybe. Who'd they play? Atlanta? I don't know.
Yeah, I think...
I don't know who they played. But they... Yeah,
Eagles. They did play Atlanta. Dallas. I mean, Dallas won, but... No, Washington did win.
Yeah.
I was going to say the Giants won in overtime.
They did.
So everyone won this week except for the Eagles in the division.
Tough one.
Yeah. Schedule doesn't get any better either.
So. Got a tough road coming up.
Oh, well. So we didn't talk about what we were going to talk about.
No, this was the coldest open we've ever had, and we've never prepared for an episode.
No. At the risk of...
Introducing the episode 21 minutes in?
Yeah, and sounding like we're a Eagles podcast. Complain about Jalen Hurts podcast.
Yeah.
I'm going to text you...
Oh, no.
...an article.
Oh, no.
From Axios.com.
Okay.
It's like a Jamie Dimon interview.
Interesting.
It's not... Oh, I have it open on my... Duh. Let me send it in the chat.
Okay.
Because I have it open here.
What's Jamie? He's trashing Bitcoin or what?
A little bit.
Yeah, good.
So this is just like little snippets of his interview. I think this was like aired on HBO or something. But just reading through this, I thought there was some interesting things. Yeah.
All right.
Muy interesante.
Yeah. Well, my freaking browser's freezing up on me, so I don't have the link. So frustrating. There it is. Oh, there's something about the Uyghurs in here, huh?
Yeah, I don't really care about that part.
You don't care about them?
No. I mean, so we've talked about this before. Like, guys that are like CEOs, especially like major companies, we talked about Michael Saylor, how impressive he is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, say what you want about Jamie Dimon. He's an impressive dude.
Yeah.
You know, he's
not dumb.
Yeah, he's CEO of...
Inspiring. He's probably cool to talk to.
Yeah. He's CEO of JP Morgan for a reason. And it's interesting, even if you like, you don't like what he does, you don't like JP Morgan, you don't like the banking system, whatever. Like, it's interesting to hear what he says about stuff. And you know, we'll link to this in the show notes page, this article, but they're talking about like the Uyghurs and about, you know, what companies should do about like, well, here, it'll just read it. Asked about commenting on hot U.S. issues, Dimon said, some we do and some we don't. Some we can't. Which... I think it's like, I think that's an honest answer.
Yeah.
Where it's like, they kind of have to, you know, any sort of business is kind of like picking and choosing and like doing an evaluation of like, do we comment on it? Like what do we gain out of this? What do we lose out of? It's kind of like a risk reward, like everything else. I wish that, you know, companies didn't feel the need to comment on like weird social issues that have nothing to do with anything. I think it's weird. I think it's weird that like people, especially because it's such like clearly a leftist thing, that these leftists are like looking up to like big companies, big corporations, the people that they like claim to hate and are like ruining this country and, you know, everything that this is just terrible in their view. But like if company XYZ isn't like standing up for like what they like, they're using them as role model. Like it's kind of, Understand what I'm trying to get at?
Yeah, I think. I mean, they're supposed to be like anti-big corp, and then they want corporation to act like how they want them to act.
Yeah, it's weird where it should just be like, all right.
Who are you guys?
Or even just, you know, oh, JP Morgan Chase. It's like, oh, I do my banking with them. Or, you know, like that should be about it.
It has to infiltrate every single aspect of your life.
Right.
Like, you can't make a video game that's not woke. Everything has to.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, I go to the grocery store. I just
want groceries.
Yeah, just are the groceries what I want? Are they good quality? Like anything other than grocery stuff, like I just, why should I care?
Yeah, no, I got what you're saying.
I mean, you have to admit, like any sort of company is made up of people that have like all sorts of different backgrounds, all sorts of different beliefs. Like
not the racist ones.
Yeah. It's like you go, like I go to the supermarket and I buy some food. Like, does every employee there have to like live by my standards?
Be a rough life if so.
Right. And does a company, do people think that like, oh, if I go shopping at, you know, this supermarket and they have some sort of, you know, woke virtue signaling thing, and I'm like, oh, it's really great. This company's doing this. And then just like assume that that applies to all the employees, that they all think that way. And like, what if they don't? Like, what if the person that's checking me out when I'm going to pay for stuff, like, doesn't believe that kind of stuff? Oh. Like that. That's the funny thing. Like, the company just like puts up puts out an advertisement or like whatever they do. They put something on Twitter. They have a rainbow flag. And so, or so, does that suddenly mean that all the employees are in like lockstep agreement with that?
I guess.
What if the dude in the bakery that you're buying your cake from and he's decorating your cake doesn't care about gay rights and stuff?
Ooh.
Is that a problem? Like just the flat, like the rainbow flag on social media just like makes that all better to these people. Like, it's just so silly. It's so stupid. It doesn't mean anything. But I do wish that like companies would just stop, or like,
I wish they would stop too. I think it's got to be like, no one wants to stand out.
Right.
You don't want to be the company that goes against whatever the grain is.
Well, and it's weird too, because standing out doesn't even mean like expressing a bad opinion. It just means
not going along.
Right. That's why it's probably better working for like companies that aren't consumer facing and don't have like a brand that's recognizable. You probably fly under the radar a little bit with all this kind of stuff.
Yeah. You're going to have people protesting.
Yeah.
Tweeting at you.
And it's not even that I'm saying that, like, I don't want companies to, like, not.
If they want to, they can.
Right.
But why, like, should they be forced to?
Right.
Or like pressured to, or whatever.
Like, isn't Ben and Jerry's, like, a liberal?
Yeah. It's like the hippie liberal. They support their liberal causes. Like, everyone knows that, and that's what they are.
And they've always been that way.
Brand. That's their brand. Right. That's what.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
I might think their stuff is stupid.
Yeah, I don't buy Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah, neither do I. I don't buy ice cream, but if I did, it wouldn't be Ben and Jerry's. And, and for the people that want to support that stuff, like, knock your socks off.
You're nuts.
What am I going to do? Say, oh, you can't support. You can't buy that ice cream because I don't like the things they support. But man, some of this stuff is like stupid questions.
What did he mention Bitcoin in there?
Yes.
What's he say about Bitcoin?
Well, I don't know what he said. Okay, so the question is, Bitcoin, is it the fool's gold of the future?
What does he say? Yes.
Diamond. It's got no intrinsic value, and regulators are going to regulate the hell out of it. Should they regulate it? Yes. If people are using it for tax avoidance and sex trafficking and ransomware, it's going to be regulated whether you like it or not. So it's not a moral statement. It's a factual statement. So, like, I kind of said this earlier. Like, these are just kind of snippets as far as I'm aware. And I don't know if you, like, have to watch HBO to see the whole thing. I wonder if he kind of got a little bit more into it. But I think these are probably enough snippets, or just like just the statement, it's got no intrinsic value. It's just, I don't know what Jamie Dimon understands about Bitcoin. I think the idea that the government's going to like regulate it, and like that's going to be the spell doom for Bitcoin or going to like affect the network just means he doesn't really know anything about it.
Well, yeah, and I think whether he knows or not, it's probably going to be his answer.
Yeah, and like you like can...
He's running one of the giant banks. He's not going to be like, yes!
Get well, Bitcoin. I mean, he... Well, yeah,
he wouldn't. I don't know. There's no way.
He's unless they already had huge bags and they want to pump it.
Yeah, still, he's already got a giant bag. It's like the Federal Reserve.
Yeah, but even central bankers are starting to like make comments about how Bitcoin is going to challenge them in a very serious way. I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, I don't know.
If you're on Jamie Dimon saying, then like go buy it, or are they being like, no, this is dangerous. We have to stop it, and it's going to.
There was one
trafficking, and it's. Drugs and ransomware.
Yeah, as if any of those things
they were invented when Bitcoin came around.
Right. Yeah. Like
there was no sex trafficking before Bitcoin.
Right. No tax avoidance.
There
no
was
ransomware.
No tax avoidance. That was never an issue until Bitcoin came around.
Right.
No drugs. Nobody even bought drugs until Bitcoin came.
What even were drugs?
Right.
It was 2009 and
it's when
I remember
drugs were invented.
I remember it was 2009 and the first block got mined and all of a sudden a marijuana drugs. Cigarette appeared in my hand.
Yeah. It was just drugs everywhere and everyone was buying them with Bitcoin.
Children.
Kids, children. Adults, elderly, everyone.
Dogs, cats.
Yeah.
Fish.
And that's all you could do with your Bitcoin. So everyone
the
buying
fish,
Bitcoin and then buying drugs.
Goldfish were in bowls.
Yeah, literally in the bowl.
Yeah. So, man. But like, Jamie Dimon, like, we just got finished saying that he's a very smart man. He's not dumb. Like, it's not like we're in 2016, 2017, and Bitcoin's just kind of like having this run up kind of out of nowhere. They talk about Bitcoin on CNBC like every day, all the time. And they say some pretty good things about it. They've got people in Bitcoin mm-hmm. that are pretty sympathetic, if not supporters of it. And what I was saying about the central bankers, there was like a German central banker or something who recently was saying, like, talk about running the full node. And he's like, yeah, I mean, if you're into Bitcoin, you're not running the node. It's what's the point? But he's like, man, if everyone's running a node, man, that's man, that's he didn't say it was an attack, but it was a competition for them.
Mm-hmm.
So he seemed to like get it. And I have to imagine that Jamie Dimon, at this point, Bitcoin is clearly here. It's clearly moving forward. It's, you know, it's not going away. I don't know in his heart of hearts or, you know, what you say to the media is one thing. What you actually think and do is could be another thing.
Almost always.
Right. So I have a real hard time thinking that even if Jamie Dimon's not, you know, going on to 10 hours of Bitcoin.com We're going to BitcoinTribble.com.
I didn't
Which,
check
Jamie, I mean, I would I know he listens, so you should go Not check enough. Out BitcoinTribble.com and learn about Bitcoin. But he's got to have guys that are reporting about Bitcoin to him and informing him about Bitcoin. And if he really does just sit there, it's got no intrinsic value, and the government's just going to regulate it out of existence. Like, you need to fire whoever is giving you that information. Assuming
eventually they'll be fired.
Right. Because, man, they are like on the wrong side of just
humanity.
Yes. And seeing a global monetary standard change before our eyes, one that is, you know, controlled without any sort of competition from anyone else. By governments. Like, they are the heavyweight champions of the world. No one can even, you know, sniff the ring against them. And all of a sudden this Bitcoin thing is coming and is going to take it away. Man, like, if JP Morgan Chase really does drop the ball on this, then like, it's just shows that, man, they are just total fiat organization that ought to die. And if they don't recognize it and don't prepare for what Bitcoin's doing, then, you know, they did a bad speculation and they deserve their massive economic demotion.
Yeah. And it's not like unreasonable to think that they are in that fiat world. I mean, there's like PhD economists who do not think hard money is valuable at all.
That's true. And there's like the guys that college. Do like hard money, but like our friend Mr. Hanke.
Yeah, Mr. Hanke. He wants
whatever.
Wants currency boards.
Yes.
Currency boards, yeah. Well, but, you know, you go through, like, obviously he's not going to listen to someone else. He's like really successful. And he's successful because he knows what he's doing and he knows the system and he knows how it works. And he's not going to listen to some punk in a hoodie tell him about Bitcoin because he's arrogant and it's going to cost him.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be really, really curious to hear like a candid.
Yeah. Response. Yeah, exactly. Because you're not going to get it from the media. Like, his number one concern too is his stockholders, shareholders. Right. So if he goes out and is like, I love Bitcoin, people are going to be like, oh, shit. Well, better not invest in them.
Well, the thing is that the walk, I mean, the talk is cheap, and we'll see what JP Morgan does.
He might have a ton of Bitcoin because he might know exactly what's happening.
Well, it was like when Elon Musk was pumping Dogecoin and whatever else he was doing, and like Tesla never bought a single Dogecoin. It was all Bitcoin. They sold that little bit of it. I think they were trying to prove liquidity, but they never sold anything else. So like, you know, Elon could say whatever he wants about Bitcoin and this other stuff, but until he sells his Bitcoin for something else, like, that's the signal.
Yeah, that's what matters.
So we'll see what JP Morgan does in the future in relation to Bitcoin. I have heard some people that with Chase bank accounts that got them, they kicked them off. They closed their bank accounts because they were interacting
with Bitcoin companies.
Yeah.
Whoops. That's a mistake by them.
Yes, it is. So this talk about how like the talk is cheap and he's not really saying anything. The next two questions are interesting ones that I think are a reflection of that. So the question is, what's the smartest thing the government does? So Diamond answered. So here's where this is not Jamie Dimon speaking. It's Rollo speaking. Some of these answers, it's like you see a lot of ... So they're clearly like
taking out some context.
Right. And they're not trying to, I think this is just supposed to be a summary thing, you know, and I like the taste to go watch the HBO show or something. So just like take this with a grain of salt, like that should they regulate Bitcoin? The answer was yes, period, dot, dot, dot. If people are using it for tax, so he had something else in there. Right. So here's the question. What's the smartest thing the government does? Military, dot, dot, dot. Bob Gates talks about the symphony of power, which includes the State Department, foreign aid, dot, dot, dot. Military is just a piece of that. Next question. What's the dumbest thing the government does? And Jamie Dimon answers, bad policy. I mean, almost nothing we touch has been done well in the last 30 years. Mm-hmm. So like you take those two answers and put them side by side. And like in the last 30 years, the military has been like the biggest thing that the government does.
By far.
But it's the smartest thing.
Yeah.
But then like bad policy is like everything else. Now, I don't know if he means military, like having having a military,
right?
Right. But this just like that right there, assuming that he's talking about like, you know, the use of the military. I mean, it just shows how silly these answers are and that it doesn't mean anything because they're just like massive contradictions. And I don't know that Jamie Dimon's that stupid to.
Well, like, he clearly isn't. Like, look at his very last question. Or the very next question, I mean, which maybe is the last.
Yeah. You've been in the room with Joe Biden. You've been in the room with Donald Trump. Compare them. It's impossible to compare them. Dot, dot, dot. I like the civility of Joe Biden. Dot, dot, dot. President Trump is very different alone than in public. Dot, dot, dot. Joe Biden is the same.
Like, you get, they get to see what the real guy is like.
Right.
The TV is a show. It's all scripted. It's all fake.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, and they're all playing the same game. So, you know, I'm sure Jamie got favors from Trump and he gets them from Biden and vice versa. And same with Obama and W and the whole crew.
Oh, yeah. There's another interesting one up about halfway through. Vandehei asked Dimon about his salary of roughly $30 million a year. So Dimon answers, we have a free market in this country, which, dot, 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 everyone should applaud, Dimon replied. We pay people to do a great job. They could sell all their services elsewhere. I need to maintain the best team on the playing field, and I need to pay them fairly. Like, that's, I agree with that, but it's like, you're just, like, you're connected to the hip, to the Fed.
Yeah. Government. Why you're paid the way you're paid.
So it's interesting that it's like, you know, you're operating on two different markets than everybody else. It's interesting, like... Free market's great when it benefits you. It's so terrible when
there is very obviously not a free market in banking.
Right. It's kind of one of those things, though, where it's like, do you want the government to come down and regulate how much Jamie Dimon gets paid, even though he's, you know, in this incestuous relation with the government? Like, no. It's just a funny statement.
Yeah.
Because I agree with it, but like, when it's coming from him, it's like, man, woof. But I mean, that's better. Him giving an answer like that is better than him being like talking about socialism or Marxism or something.
Well, he can with that salary.
Yeah, I'm sure they could. I mean, AOC, got a $40,000 dress to a $30,000 a plate gala thing.
Time to spin it.
Yeah. And so, no, actually, I'm being consistent with my dress that says tax the rich.
Yeah.
Where you see like all these politicians with their insider trading and how much money they're making and everything. You know,
I'm sure Dimon doesn't partake in that.
No, which I don't have an issue with insider trading. Neither do I, actually. Necessarily.
I don't have an issue at all, I think.
I have an issue with Nancy Pelosi making rules against insider trading and doing it herself.
Yeah, and being able to pass bills that restrict things while investing before you pass them.
Yeah.
Or selling before you pass them, or right. whatever.
Getting because of your position in power.
Yeah, when you creating, get to make this unfair playing field.
Right. That anybody else that, you know, does something slightly off kilter, you can throw them in prison or take all their money from them. So yeah, it's an interesting thing there. But it's funny. Like, it's just such a funny world that we live in, that like you go through this interview, like reading this stuff, and it's like, it's either just totally contradictory, like from what he's saying line to line, or it's just like, man, your talk is one thing and your walk is something completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have to think, because I've said this about Jack Dorsey, the CEO of Twitter, that I do think that, like, in his heart of hearts, he's probably, like, more aligned with the cypherpunks than anything else. I could be wrong about that, but, like, his...
Yeah, I wonder how much, actual control he has over Twitter. Maybe a lot, maybe not. But certainly right. not the day-to-day banning of people, I'm sure
yeah.
he isn't involved in at all. Like, because, or knows about or cares about.
Because if he's a guy that's like trying to, you know, write software to change the world and everything, and that's how he got like, I don't know that you can, like, I think some people just get like utterly destroyed by the machine, and the things that they believed when they got started just get absolutely like whitewashed, and just they just dig a big hole and throw those beliefs in a casket and bury it without even, yeah. you know. But I don't think everyone's like that. And I think there's always like that little flicker in there. So,
yeah.
you know, Jamie Dimon might have gotten into this as like, maybe not an ANCAP, maybe not a libertarian, but a guy that believed in like, hey, you know, the market is right. And there still might be that like flicker in there with him. And that's why I want Bitcoin. Because Bitcoin allows like it separates the people that are actually free marketers or capitalists versus these crony capitalists that just suck off the teat of the Fed and the state. And that's why, I mean, we've talked about it before, that under a hard money Bitcoin standard, like, don't just assume that all of the like the wealthy and the big players are going to like disappear. Like, people that are, just because they're, you know, some businesses and business leaders are able to leverage the government and the Fed doesn't mean that they're like totally just in the bag for them. They're just doing, you know, very matter of factly just doing whatever is most practical for them to you know, maximize profit. And if that means leveraging, you know, the influence of regulation by the government, which is wrong. I don't approve of that, but that's just what they're going to do. They're driven by profit. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to, you know, they're going to seek favorable regulation. They're going to mm-hmm. seek favors from banks and the Central Federal Reserve and everything. So, you know, outside of that, if they're limited by hard money, well, they're going to work in those limits of hard money. And if they're clever people that are able to, you know, maximize profit no matter what the field looks like, that's what they're going to do. So if Jamie Dimon is that guy, if he really does believe in a free market, then I can't wait to see him operate in a Bitcoin standard. Sorry, I'm pulling up my other browser. How far away? Oh, we're 49 minutes.
Got a lot out of no topic.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like an episode of Seinfeld.
Yeah.
There was other things I had
oh, yeah?
to talk about. Not really.
Well, what do you think about this? I just opened up my Facebook and I see a post. And it says, please.
You can open up Facebook?
Yeah, I can. I got an inside. What's his name? Zuckerberg gives me a secret link. So it says, please stop saying that we need to increase teacher salaries in order to recruit the best and brightest. As if the best and brightest are not currently teaching. We need to increase teacher salaries because those currently teaching deserve it and earned it. Period. Boom. How about that?
They already make a lot of money.
For what? Yeah, I know.
Like, not even being, like, snarky about, no, like,
if you look
overpaid
at the median salary, it's, like, double or triple that.
Yeah.
For working 9 months. Well, I mean, we don't even have to go through this because it doesn't matter how many hours you work. If you produce a product, who cares?
Right.
And it's, the product they produce.
It's always public school teachers are the ones that get paid a lot more as opposed to a lot of private school teachers. Like, I really don't often hear private school teachers complain about their salary.
Public ones.
Sure, they do.
I'm sure they do too, but yeah.
I mean, I'm fine. Like, I don't, like, everyone's allowed to.
Has like a mission, you know?
Right.
So I was like, I want to be a Catholic school teacher.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, teachers are just the worst.
Yeah. Make a better product.
So we need to get paid. Like, oh, it's just so silly. That whole, like, what could you read that again?
If I have to, I will.
Yeah. Read it again.
Yeah. Okay.
I want to feel the pain of listening to this.
Okay, here it comes. Please stop saying that we need to increase teacher salaries in order to recruit the best and brightest, as if the best and brightest are not currently teaching. We need to increase teacher salaries because those currently teaching deserve and earned it. And then there's a comment. Say it louder for the people in the back.
Like, did the teacher write that?
Yeah, of course.
Like, it's so, like, everything about it, like, nothing makes sense. It's like the best and brightest are already, like, so you think the best and brightest don't get paid the most?
I mean, do you really think the best and brightest are teaching, you know, first grade arithmetic? The kids, yeah, who don't want to learn it, like...
Was it Doug Stanhope had a thing in his stand up where he's talking about, oh, everyone acts like being a teacher so hard and everything. It's like, you know what qualifies you to be a second grader teacher?
Third grade.
Passing first grade.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or no, I screwed that up. Man, I'm not teacher material. Yeah. Being in third grade.
Yeah.
To be a second grade teacher. Like, you know, let's be
a trip to teachers.
It's so, like,
generally speaking, the worst.
Yeah. Let's pay them more because they deserve it. Why do they deserve it? Because just because they're teachers, I guess. I know we need teachers. They're important.
We need them for what? Because they're not teaching. I mean, maybe they're teaching, but the kids aren't learning. Or maybe they're learning what they're teaching. Any way you want to slice it, it's not good.
Yeah, I mean, it's, man, you see, like, what these public school teachers, how they think and how they act and the arguments they make. And then you see the product of public schools.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, no wonder people can't think.
And then it just so happens. This is so strange. It's like amazing. How come all the good public schools are in wealthier neighborhoods where there's usually two parent homes? And how come those public schools are good and in the public schools in poorer neighborhoods are not as good?
Well, it's because of white privilege.
Yeah. Do you think maybe the teachers just don't have, like, do you think all the bad teachers go to the poor schools? Or do you think maybe teachers don't really matter that much and it's kind of your upbringing and your family life that has a bigger role in your education?
Yep, probably.
Like all the teachers are dumb at the bad schools. Come on.
Well, no, they're already the best and the brightest that work there. That's just right. Being a teacher means you're the best and the brightest.
They're also children. I actually do think, like if you teach fifth grade, you hang out with fifth graders all day and you go down to their level. Another thing in sports, you know, you're playing a bad team and every now and then you play down to their level and you're in a tight game against a team you shouldn't be in a tight game with. And that's what teachers do. They play down to the level of their peers who are their students.
Yeah. It's probably why they have temper tantrums when you question anything.
Pretty much.
It is bad. Like the level of the ability of a lot of people to think is just like this weekend I was arguing with someone on Twitter who's such a stupid decision by me to give any sort of time of day to him. But it was more just like you see someone's response and you're just like curious to just keep poking at them and see what they say, because it's just like it's worse than just like a random word generator. It makes less sense than that. Talking about like the COVID vaccine and how like now all of a sudden, like these people allow themselves so easily be gaslighted into saying that like, oh, well, the vaccine's not there to like prevent you from getting COVID. It's to like minimize, you know, how bad, like minimize the symptoms of COVID and make it not as bad. It's like, that's not a vaccine.
I also heard them say the vaccine was never meant to eliminate it. Really?
Right.
Like, you know, the internet exists. You can just Google it.
Yeah. Which I did. I just searched like vaccine and this guy's thing. And within 3 seconds found something where he's talking about like making sure everyone gets immunity, getting the vaccine. And yeah.
This guy said it himself.
Right.
So you either forget it or you're in denial. Like that does not make, and that's one thing where I'll give ourselves credit. Since the beginning, we've always been like self-reflective. Like, wait, what? Is what we're saying making sense? If we get new information, we change our minds.
Right. Yeah.
That's why I don't like anybody. I like
no. No, and that's why like I want to tie, you know, I hate COVID. So stupid.
I know. I'm tired of it.
But like I brought this example up because I think the dude's just a product of this government school system where it's just whatever the authority person tells you, just like
where the best, believe. You know, you mean the best and the brightest tell you.
Right, right. Like that's what it is. And that's what you believe. Like you're supposed to just like whatever the textbook says, whatever the teacher says, that's what it is. And it doesn't matter if they just like totally contradict themselves. Just stop. That's not what you're here for. You're not here to think about it. You're here
regurgitate it.
Yes. And so that's all these people do. Like the things he was saying to me and the contradictions were just absurd. I was flabbergasted by it. And
this is like a real human.
And but that's ultimately what his argument was that it's like, well, the scientists and the researchers have consensus on this, and what they say is blah, blah, blah. And so how, you know, where do you come from, like, questioning that?
That's another one I love, by the way. I saw this a couple times. I don't know if it was Twitter, Facebook, probably both. But people are like, oh, you want to research COVID? Go to school for 4 years and then go to grad school and then get your PhD and then work in the field for 15 years and then write a peer-reviewed paper every day, and that's your research. Like, oh, nobody can know anything unless you've done that.
Right. Also, there's people that done that.
And have different agreements. Right. That was exactly what I was going, oh, okay, fine. Is that the standard? Okay, what about this? What about Jay Bhattacharya? What's he say?
Right.
Oh, that's like, but they don't need, Yeah.
Or it's just like you take their previous statements.
Whoever posted that thought it was brilliant.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, it's just like you take these, like, they've just so clearly changed so much about COVID, like, all the time.
Like
it's just a constant change. And it would be one thing. It would be very reasonable, and I wouldn't be so, like...
If they weren't so, what's the right word? If they weren't so confident or sure or like definitive about every single thing they say, if it was kind of like, "Oof, man, this disease is coming. Looks like it's pretty bad. We got to try something. We got to try to contain this. Let's lock down for 2 weeks." You know, I still wouldn't like it, but at least right. There's like some humility or like, we don't know what's going on, but we got to try things.
Or when they change their mind that they say, "Hey, look, we said this. We got new information. We have better understanding of what's going on. So now I have to change it to this other thing." Yeah. They don't do that.
We knew this, 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 and this, and therefore we thought this was the way. Well, it turns out that this doesn't work.
That's what an honest person does. But instead, they act like, "Oh, no, this is how it's been the whole time. Like, oh, I can't believe that you thought that the vaccine was to prevent you from getting a disease? Please.
No, don't prevent disease." Oh.
Are you? How silly.
I hate COVID. Why did we bring this up? Mm-hmm. Although on that, No. So I had some people over for dinner on Sunday night. We grilled up some steaks, some potatoes, some asparagus, and a couple orange pills thrown in there. And, that is COVID is bringing these people, that both of them, both nurses, friends of mine, known them a long time. We're going to see if they listen because we're an hour in. And their experience with COVID, being nurses in the hospital, has taken them from, normal people, sane people, to, very close to our level very quickly. And so they wanted to talk Bitcoin, and that's what we were doing.
Oh, awesome.
And we had I have to follow up, but I think it was a pretty productive night getting some more people on Bitcoin. And so if there's a silver lining to COVID, that's it.
Yeah, that's one of the things I was going to bring up was about Bitcoin and meeting people like at a sore spot for them is that, you know, everyone in our lives know that we're the Bitcoin people and that we'll talk their ear off about Bitcoin if they let us. But like a lot of people, they're just like, okay, yeah, whatever. I wish this guy would shut up about Bitcoin. But there's certain things that like when it finally hits them, like it hits them and they suddenly realize it. I was talking to someone else kind of, it was a couple months ago, and like someone, I think I brought up Bitcoin because they're talking about, you know, the vaccine and businesses requiring people to get the vaccine. And it's like, man, this is going to be real terrible. And I said, this is why I have Bitcoin. And people kind of chuckled, thinking that was just like, you know, shoehorning Bitcoin in there. I'm like, no, I'm serious. Like Bitcoin gives me sound money that the government can't inflate. So I'm not going to lose my purchasing power because they decide they're going to press a button and all of a sudden there's $1 trillion.
And now all that savings, years of working.
Right.
Working hard and putting away money is just eroded.
Well, the thing is, you can't even save money under this system. Everyone's basically living paycheck to paycheck, more or less. If you've got, 3 months of savings,
you're ahead of 90% of the public.
Right. But with Bitcoin, man, like, I got real savings that if I want to send it somewhere, they can't stop it. And they can't like manipulate, the supply. They can't go into my bank account. They can't go into my cold storage and just like change stuff around on me. They can't call someone and say, "Hey, we need to change this amount of Bitcoin in Rollo's account or prevent him from sending it here." So I have the ability that when my manager says, or my company says something stupid for me to do that I don't agree with, I don't have to like think about, do I like
sacrifice my principles to keep my job?
Right. So I can pay my mortgage or keep food on the table for my family. I'm single, so I don't have to like, But for a lot of people that do
bills,
have...
You have things.
Right.
You have things you have to pay for. But there's a lot of single people out there living paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah. But like Bitcoin gives me the ability to just say, no, I'm not doing that. And they say, well, if you don't do it, you're going to lose your job. And I say, fine. But I'm not going to do it. Whereas people, like, even if, like, I actually do think that for certain situations, not all of them, obviously, but you can probably call an employer's bluff if they start.
A lot of the time.
Yeah, it depends. It really depends on things. Depends on the, like, there's a thousand variables in there.
Yeah.
But at least it's, you got a better shot.
Yeah.
Like, if you can confidently try to call their bluff without you being like trying to bluff, like you're willing to just be fired or walk away because you have the ability to sustain yourself because you actually have savings that you don't need that job in order to, you know, continue your lifestyle or at least, you know, work your way through whatever, you know, unemployment you have to do. That's a huge deal. And I've said it before on this podcast, I don't like go to bed at night having to worry about, oh, what happens if I lose my job for whatever reason. If I lose my job, you know, I don't want to, obviously, it stinks. But like, I have stuff I can fall back on because of Bitcoin that I didn't have before. And it's not like, oh, suddenly I got like, did you get like a 300% raise or something between now and then? No, I just started using Bitcoin as how I save money. I got rid of stocks, you know. I got rid of my, you know, my savings account. I didn't get rid of it, but like there's not really anything in it. And I converted it to Bitcoin. And like my self-confidence is as far as being able to like lead the life I want to live has never been higher.
Yeah.
It's not even close. Like, I'm not a wealthy person by any stretch, but like, I feel financially secure.
Same. I'm in a good spot.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not, you know, like you said, I'm not, I mean, depending on how you describe wealthy, define wealthy, I don't have a whole lot of money, but I have enough money to where I don't have to lose sleep at night over it.
Yeah.
That wasn't always the case.
So like there might be people listening that like really don't have any Bitcoin and they probably think, oh man, I'm so far behind. Like, get off zero.
Just get off zero.
Start now.
Put $10 away. Put whatever you can away.
Start now. The worst thing you can do is delay it. Or
look, no one's going to know or care if you bought it at 0.03 million or 0.05 million.
Yeah.
If you start putting it away now, you're still early.
Right. Yeah, because like I didn't start being as a like going all I'm not all in on Bitcoin quite yet. But like as aggressive, put me in the highest percentile among people for how aggressive I am with Bitcoin. But like we talked about, we bought a little bit of Bitcoin back way, you know, a long time ago. That's that Bitcoin that like appreciated by, you know, bajillion percent. That's not what's making me feel financially secure. It's the money I'm putting away
now
every month when I get the paychecks that is making me feel financially secure. I never said that before, but I want to be clear about that.
Yeah,
it's not because I have like, oh, I bought, you know, $5 of Bitcoin at one point and now it's worth, you know, $50 billion.
Yeah. No.
It's not
exactly
that.
And that was one thing I was going to say too. And that's something I brought up at this dinner is like, even as, let's say Bitcoin was $5 million now, it's still worth converting your US dollars to Bitcoin. You're still saving there. You're locking in that wealth, that value that you created. You're locking it in into a hard currency.
Yeah. Because as you know, there's only ever going to be 21 million Bitcoin, and hard money standards tend to bring about the creation of wealth. Creation of wealth does not mean that you have more money. money is artificial wealth. You can't do stuff with money other than exchange it for other things. So like the wealth that gets created is the additional stuff that gets created in the economy. So if you have the ability to command more resources and more stuff, that means you're wealthier. That's what that money represents. So even if you just maintain the amount of Bitcoin that you have under a Bitcoin standard or under a you know, Bitcoin becoming standardized, you're going to be able to just command more resources. You're going to be able to have access to more stuff. So it's not like you need to be a gajillionaire in Bitcoin. You just need to protect what you've created. The wealth that you've created, you need to protect that so that you're not like the government, the Federal Reserve just can't press a button and hemorrhage that if you're on dollars. Like you can't hold dollars, like you can't save in dollars. You should be getting rid of the dollars you have and replacing it with Bitcoin. And if you get to the point where you have to liquidate some Bitcoin to do something, okay, like do it. But like that's a good thing that you had it there to be able to do what you're doing.
Right.
As opposed to like holding dollars and you'd you have to liquidate Bitcoin. That means you're using some savings, that's what savings are there for. Mm-hmm. You don't know what the future is going to hold. Where if you're holding dollars and they are depreciating in value, and now that same expense comes up out of nowhere, you don't have the ability, like, to just, you're probably dipping into things that you wouldn't otherwise want to dip into, like, you know, maybe get a loan or maybe, you know, be closer to living paycheck to paycheck. Like, you know, these people, like, it's, I remember we were talking to Scott Horton about it, and he's like, oh yeah, you know, I had a bunch of Bitcoin, but I don't have it anymore because my wife, you know, got sick and I needed to pay for the surgery. And it's like, thank goodness you had that Bitcoin that you're able to spend it on that. Because if you didn't have it and you were in dollars, I bet you that situation would have been a whole lot different.
Absolutely.
So yeah, get off zero. Start stacking sats. Get Bitcoin, secure it. Like I argue it's a little bit life changing. And not because suddenly you're able to, you know,
drive a Maserati,
afford a yacht and drive a Maserati and a Lambo. And it's not because of that. It's because you'll actually be able to understand what it feels like to hold on to the wealth that you've created. Or access to, Ronald, you said that having money isn't wealth, it's artificial wealth, it's the stuff, and you're holding money. No one ever actually like needles me on that. I guess I'm just projecting. Just like, I don't know. So, all right.
Yeah, why don't we wrap it up?
Okay. So, once again, the show notes page is tractor.com/272.
Ooh, where you can find it in.
Yeah, we'll all throw right. I wish that you didn't acknowledge it. So that someone like, because that was smooth.
Yeah, maybe.
That was smooth. And so what I wanted to have was I was so smooth with it that people are like, don't even because
say,
they're.
Ha ha, yes, I did.
Yes, because they're so used to. Yeah. And I could be like, oh, no, I got it in there. Like, no, you didn't. It's like they're listening to that and be like the Mandela effect, or it's just like, no, you said McFlool.com/2. I know it.
Maybe next time.
Show notes page is McFlool.com/272. We'll throw that link to that Axios Jamie Dimon thing if you want to review it, or maybe watch the whole thing. Actually, someone, you know, I'm going to give homework to the listeners because I'm certainly not going to do it. Go watch that thing. Watch the whole thing and see if anything that we read from Jamie Dimon was different than they, you know, they took it out of context or you know, we misinterpreted based on what we had, what he actually meant. Because I really, it bugs me when I see, you know, these people kind of, instead of, you know, taking snippets of things, whether they meant it or not. Because Bitcoin's a tough one because, you know, whoever person XYZ who chopped that up, there's a good chance they don't really understand Bitcoin. So they might have just like really honestly have been trying to give a good summary. But since they don't understand what's going on with it, they don't know how to give a good summary. So someone go do that and report back on it. You know what? I will send you 10 Satoshis. That's the bounty.
There you go.
Paid over the lightning. Okay, so that's 20 Satoshis paid over the Lightning Network. To report back on this Jamie Dimon thing. Otherwise, on the show notes page, go check out libertymugs.com, 10hoursbitcoin.com, and bitcointrickle.com. So, all right, let me check the status of my node. We are at 4.6472%. The block height is 282,940.
Hey, boy.
So we are, we're chugging away.
Where are you? 2014?
January 29th, 2014.
Yeah.
January 30th now.
It's moving.
Yeah, we are chugging along. I don't know how to do it so that it just keeps, every time it gets a new block, it shows the next one. I got to keep putting in the command. I used to be able to do that. I don't know. I get on the command line, play around with it for a while, and I get proficient, and then I don't touch it for a while.
Yeah, and forget everything.
Yeah. Like I forget how to not bork the Coin Trickle node.
Yeah.
So, all righty. Thanks for listening. We will catch you next week.
Peace.